Okay, good morning, everybody. The topic I have today is career path in public health in the age of genomic science. I got involved in this through NIH funding as far back as 1989. We were given close to $1 million to pursue neonatal screening and genomics. So out of these, we've been very cautious in trying to pinpoint the type of career path we're going to be seeing in the next 10, 15, or 20 years in genomics-related discipline. So what we see here is the outset of genomic science, and by 1990, James D. Waxman happened to be the director of the Human Genome Sequencing Unit at NIH, and then he gave so many reasons why genomics is so important. So he met with Clinton, and Clinton talked with Tony Blair. They invested close to $2.6 billion to ensure that this project became very, very successful. And today, there were a number of the G8, members of the G8 nations that participated, and of the entire group, I'm going to illustrate the three who could not participate. They are basically Russia, Italy, and Canada. So since this happened, the accomplishment of the human genome sequencing, US government, British government, Japan, and very progressive developing nation, China, they want to see how much they can derive from this highly expensive project. So what we see is that the National Institute of Health and U.S. Institute of Medicine, they gave a definition that they want us to actually comply with. So today, the key issue is that those who did the sequencing, they agreed that this era of genomic medicine is very synonymous with the Apollo, with the landing of man on the moon. So besides this, there are so many ongoing research and biotechnological development that have actually occurred from genomics. And we're going to go through all of that as this presentation continues. Two comparable gigantic projects, the WHO Primary Healthcare Scheme and then the Human Genome Sequencing Project. I must emphasize that there is no international project that is as ubiquitous and widely accepted as the WHO Primary Healthcare Program compared to genomics. And there are so many reasons for this, because when WHO launched the Health for All by the year 2000, out of the 193 nations worldwide, primary healthcare reached virtually every corner of this globe. The contradictions are that regarding genomics, that is not the case. The very six nations that initially invested resources on genomics are the ones looking at the benefits in terms of job creations right now, in terms of technology right now, in terms of workforce as we speak. So what are some of the trepidations that we see? WHO continue to tell us that the major benefits coming out of genomics, all the biotechnology companies created, the drugs developed, they are basically with the six major G8 nations that started this project, with the exclusion of China. So these are the nations I'm talking about. Canada did not participate, they didn't invest money, but they are deriving some benefit from it. We serve as the primary initiator. That is the Institute, the U.S. National Institute of Health. We have 27 basic sections. And the U.S. Department of Energy. Those two agencies invested so much money, and today US, United Kingdom, France, Germany, and Japan are the ones that have created technology, and this technology will demand huge workforce. That workforce is where the resources will be coming to this nation. So some of the items we want to actually look at are some of the ecological events which could influence career path in public health. And what are those innovative careers? And we will also look at a unique and appropriate career in the developing and the least developing nations. There are reasons for this. There are motivations for this. Because the promise that James D. Waxman made internationally was that after the sequencing, we are talking of April 25, 2003, the benefit of genomics will be spread worldwide. So we're now trying to look if this will actually occur. And many of our students who are getting their degrees in public health, how did they get involved in this? How do they constitute part of the workforce in terms of genomic discovery? So these are some of the items that we are trying to look at here, and then do this so precisely so as to make public health a very enviable profession. So the responsibility of the Institute of Medicine was to look at the schools of public health. They went after 29 schools, got their syllabi, collected their faculty in terms of their credentials, and then came up with some resolutions. They came up with some guidelines. In fact, this Institute of Medicine, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, played a cardinal role. They went to U.S. Congress, explained to U.S. Congress that public health is not a static discipline. It's a very dynamic discipline worldwide, because straight from the outset, and in the earliest part of the 19th century, we had a guy called, I'm going to give you his name in a split second, is E.A. Winslow. E.A. Winslow was at Yale, and he gave us a definition of what public health looks like, because in order for us to be able to attain the definition that WHO gave us in terms of health being a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, René Dubos said this definition, which is very contradictory because of elderly people, I wear glasses, that means I do not fit. And all those of us with chronic and degenerative diseases, we do not fit the ideal definition of WHO. But René Dubos said, no, this definition becomes acceptable if we can use resources such as genomics to wipe out chronic and degenerative diseases, microbial infections, parasitic organisms. Then the babies we make can actually have a fulfilling life expectancy. So that was how René Dubos at that time tried to agree with the concept of health by WHO. The ecological model that the Institute of Medicine recommended is very, very crucial. And this ecological model is what we see here, is the basic interaction between the environment which we call the physical and biological characteristics of any area, and then the individual. These are the extreme precursors for diseases. These are the reasons we get sick. These are the reasons we get very well. So with this ecological model, we know that this is a dynamic situation. It's always going on. Think about ecological events. In our lifespan, we have seen the tsunami. When the tsunami struck, virtually every nation was affected. After tsunami, we had Katrina. When Katrina struck, over 1,800 human lives were completely lost, with more than 1,000 completely missing. So with all these ecological events we see, we now realize that the public health scientist must be prepared at every stage to be able to function very effectively. So on that basis, it was argued, and the Institute of Medicine agreed we should be thinking of microbial genomics in actually sequestering carbon. We should be thinking of bioterrorism specialists. In fact, in 1990, when I taught epidemiology and biostat at Tufts Medical School here, any time I spoke about bioterrorism, my medical students were always scared. They say, why do you have to teach this to us? This is it's too high tech, it's too sensitive. But today, in many of the schools of public health, these are all courses that we teach. So I'm just quickly going to go through some of the needed courses. They include public health microbiologist, school health educator, environmental health, and bioinformatics. In fact, the outbreak of HIV has changed the situation for us. In the highly developed nations, we have professors who can easily develop all these packages. The course curriculum with sequencing, integration, and continuity. You put a curriculum together and you train a very competent public health professional. Now, these are some of the least developing nations. There are 44 of them. 34 exist in sub-Saharan Africa. They also want to derive the benefits of genomics. We've just heard what they can do is family history. That does not need your next generation sequencing. You do not need PCR, the polymerase chain reaction test. The equipment for doing all those things are cost prohibitive. But if you go through the route of family health history, you reach everywhere in this universe. So today, the eclectic preparation of public health scientists should include the following. But as far as getting jobs, if you want your qualification to land you a job, you must get involved in quantitative science. I'm talking of bioinformatics, biostatistics, epidemiology, cultural competence. I just want to applaud the last speaker who taught us how to take genomics into our local community. You don't need a computer. You will scare them. You need to develop harmony with them. There has to be camaraderie. Then they give you vital information about the family. So what we are saying here, we need ethics. The ethical part is very important. These, what I'm showing right now, will be the leading causes of death in the next few years. And they are evolving. But as we see public health career, the opportunity exists. We have to be very, very creative. In being creative, the NGOs, the PVU, the consultants, we all can participate as public health professionals. So, regarding the age of genomic science, we will continue to challenge the human spirit to become very proactive in tackling scientific challenges and taking guided risks. The risk exists. We'll continue to see this risk to be able to deal with little diseases and minimize the impact of single gene disease and complex diseases. I want to thank the audience for paying so much attention. Thank you so much. We are making progress, but it is not ubiquitous. There are some institutions where they've not heard about genomics. They confuse genomics with genetics. What we need to do is invite the new generation of mass media communicators to actually simplify information about genomics and publicize this in many of our local newspapers. They should divorce element of eugenics. This is a scary portion. When people hear of genomics, they start thinking of eugenics, which occurred with Hitler as far back as 1945. We must be able to indicate to most of our people that genomics is very different. Genomics is something revealed to us so that those intractable diseases, the BRCA1, BRCA2, we can use P4, P4 medical science, predictive, preventive, personalized, and participatory techniques to get rid of BRCA1, BRCA2 genes. Besides this, if grandparents had cardiovascular disease, through use of phytochemical nutrients, there is no reason why the biologic and then the grandkid should end up with cardiovascular disease. So many of the leading causes of death, we just saw sequencing here that was presented by the last speaker. All those sequencing, they are known for cardiovascular disease, they are known for cancers, they are now known for oncocercal volvulus. They are not known for schistosoma hematobium or any of those parasitic diseases.